Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is July 8th, 4 days after the 4th of July, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. It is Crop Tour 2020, and I'm joined today by Eric. You know Eric, he's the newbie, and he went all the way across the country to look at cornfields. And I don't know if that's exciting or crazy, but he did it. And he's here today. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Hey, Mike, how you doing today? I'm doing great.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'll tell you, I'm really excited to talk to you today because, you know, you told us about this idea to go across the country in a car and check out all these fields and end up back in Rochester, New York. And you did it.
And I did it.
And you did it. And for those IQ listeners, you saw he did three posts on his trip and his journey. And so a lot of you, I'm sure, checked that out. But today we thought we'd talk a little bit about the tour and a little bit about some of the surprises and key takeaways from that that maybe you didn't read in there that he wanted to share. So what do you think, Eric? Shall we do that?
That sounds great, Mike. Happy to.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we do that, I'm today is a special day for me because at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, the MLS is going to be back in business for another. But, yeah. You know me, I'm a big soccer fan, so I'm going to be watching the first game here and I'm super excited. Any type of sports is good sports, right? So.
Oh yeah. It's good. Good to have some sports back. And that's for sure. And right. I know you're a tremendously big soccer fan, so I'm sure you're happy today.
Yeah, no, if you want, Eric, why don't you watch it too? And then we can compare notes tomorrow, what we thought about the game. What do you think?
Hey, I'm in.
Well, of course you have to say that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you give us a recap? Now you started the tour talking about how you were in Salt Lake City and you ended it somewhere in Ohio. So why don't you give listeners a little bit of recap of what you learned and some of the cool stuff?
Yeah, sure thing. So just kind of quickly recap the trip. You know, I started the first day of the trip in Salt Lake City. So it took a while to get to the Corn Belt, but I essentially started to see corn and soybeans start cropping up in very, very eastern Wyoming. But it was very sporadic, so nothing noteworthy. And once I got in Nebraska, though, I definitely saw more and more corn the further east I drove through the state. And, you know, essentially from west to east in Nebraska, the corn got progressively more mature. So it was taller and further along in the growing cycle, as well as soybeans. And right when I got to probably central Nebraska is when essentially I-80 on either side was entirely corn or entirely soybeans. So you can definitely see the difference driving through the heart of the Corn Belt region, which starts right there in about central Nebraska. But, you know, as it pertains to Nebraska, things looked relatively good there. There was quite a bit of irrigation, and those fields that were being irrigated at the time did look better than those that were not. I would say Nebraska was probably the drier of the four or five states I traveled through for the Corn Belt. And in particular, western Nebraska was very dry. So again, those fields that were irrigated did much better so far in this early growing season. But you know, nothing of major concern at this point. And I also noticed that corn seemed to really outplant soybeans in Nebraska from western Nebraska to central, about 4-to-1 ratio.
Wow.
But things got a little bit closer to, you know, a 2-to-1 ratio when you drove through parts of Lincoln and eventually over to Omaha near Iowa. So, you know, all in all, Nebraska looked really good. And the field sizes became noticeably larger going from, again, west to east. So, yeah, the corn Husker State, definitely living up to its name. And again, I saw quite a bit of corn out there and things looked good. So
good.
It was essentially day one was mostly Nebraska. Day two was really a couple states and driving right through the heart in the Corn Belt. Went through the rest of Nebraska to Omaha, cut over into central Iowa, and then traveled south through Iowa to central Illinois and Indiana before stopping in Indianapolis. And what I'd say on this leg is it started with the corn looking really good. and parts of eastern Nebraska and Iowa, corn and soybeans looked just tremendous. So to me, Iowa definitely stood out as the state that is furthest along in the development. I had some pictures posted where you could see actually the corn was taller than me, and I'm just shy of 6 feet. So it was certainly getting very close to pollination as of last week, and I wouldn't be surprised if that state's actively approaching pollination today. You know, with the crop progress report coming out Monday showing that state, you know, at 85% good to excellent for corn and 84% good to excellent for soybeans, I definitely can attest to those ratings, and Iowa looked just really good. So
cool.
Driving out of there into Illinois, definitely saw a little bit of degradation in the growing cycle for corn and beans, a little bit less mature, probably by about, again, 7 to 10 days. If I had to average it out, and things were a little bit more moist in terms of precipitation. I know there was some rain we drove through that day on day two. So I think some of the recent rainfall that came through and cloud cover kept things a little bit wetter in some of the spots there, but nothing concerning. Things looked good overall in Illinois, and there was definitely a fairly even split of soybeans to corn. Mm-hmm. Is essentially how the state plans to track throughout 2020 here is about a 1-to-1 ratio for corn and beans. And that's essentially what I saw.
Okay.
Going into day three, the remainder of Indiana and into Ohio, a pretty brief day. My main thing I would say there is definitely maybe even a little step lower than where Illinois was and obviously Iowa was and Nebraska. But things just looked a little bit more wet, especially in the eastern part of Indiana and Ohio. Some fields were actually pretty wet and had ponding, you could see from the roads. And some of those areas were either not emerged in terms of if it was a corn plant or soybean plant coming up, or things just very, very stunted and not growing well. So definitely more fields that were wet in that area, but you know, nothing I would call majorly concerning at this point. So all in all, really, for an early crop tour, both crops looked really good. And I'd say, you know, corn in particular, I think I saw, you know, more acreage, at least in my route. So was pretty good overall. I'd say thumbs up so far to that point as of last week.
Okay, cool. So it sounds like pretty good progress at this point. Were there any surprises or key observations that you saw that you want to mention?
Yeah. So the surprise maybe came out when we got the acreage update last Tuesday. Based on what I saw visually, and that there was 5 million acres of corn that came off from 97 million to 92 million acres. And we didn't see all that go over to soybeans or wheat. You know, there was just modest adjustments there as well. So there's essentially somewhere around 4 to 5 million uncalled for acres at this time, which kind of had us scratching our heads last week and saying, you know, where'd those acres go? Because on my trip throughout the journey, I didn't see hardly any unplanted acres. So I was surprised to see that amount come off of the expected supply scenarios for corn.
Right.
Again, I didn't really see anything from my vantage point that was unplanted or not planted. Everything pretty much was soybeans, corn, or wheat. And, you know, I think parts of North Dakota, potentially, like we have been hinting on this spring, have had problems. So, you know, that counted for some, but certainly, you know, 5 million acres coming off, that's probably a little questionable, and kind of my eyes reaffirmed that. So, you know, maybe as we go through the months here, corn potentially inches back up a little bit in terms of acreage.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like some potential upside on the acreage. Any other things that would be key to mention today?
Yeah. You know, I think overall at this point, I'd say, you know, a trend lined yield where the USDA currently has it for corn is still very attainable as well for soybeans. You know, whether to that point as of last week was really good. And obviously the corn and beans getting in the ground early to on time helped a lot as a side of where we were last year. But, you know, since my tour ended on Wednesday of last week to today, you know, some of the weather And even the longer range forecast looked very hot, very dry, and pretty concerning. So that kind of caused the rally we saw in corn late last week and into early this week. But even as of this morning, some of the forecasts are looking a little bit better in terms of precipitation, which we'll need that now as the crops approach pollination and pod development for soybeans. So, you know, these next few weeks is going to be critical to get that moisture. And, you know, for the short term, the next 7 days, we appear to get more of the, you know, pop-up variety type thunderstorms or rain showers. So not that cold front sweeping rain that everyone's going to get in on. It might be certain areas get it, certain areas don't, but that's certainly something that has the market's attention and it's going to have our attention here for the next 2 to 3 weeks when these crops will really be developing. So just keep an eye out on that. Well, I'd say trendline yield certainly attainable and maybe even a little bit higher, but we definitely got to get that rainfall with the higher temperatures and the heat we're experiencing today.
Great recap. And that was a great crop tour 2020. I think we'll keep having you do this every year and give our listeners an update on what we actually see out in the fields rather than looking at USDA reports and give some more intel that way. And we'll end it by just saying, hey, look, you know what? Eric pioneered and worked very hard on a CBD study that's coming out. We're just putting our finishing touches on it. So look forward to that. There'll be a webinar associated with it. So you'll be able to register to learn more about CBD, more about what's in that study. And then also we vetted out a very good CBD supplier. So if you're looking at developing products with CBD, we can help you there as well. And finally, our IQ platform. So these posts, these awesome posts were on our IQ platform as he was doing his tour. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about our IQ platform, just reach out to us and we'll put you on a trial. You check it out, give it a ride. So great. Well, thank you very much, Eric. This was a wonderful recap. And as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Look forward to our analysis on Friday for the WASDE report and enjoy every minute moment with your friends and family. Don't take it for granted. And until next time, take care, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.